Today I'm going to talk about words and fire, or the power of the tongue, however you want to say it. And, you know, we, last week, I don't know if you knew this or not, but if you weren't here, if you were here, you knew it, but we had a pop blessing here last week. And we have pop blessings instead of potlucks. And you see, luck is something that you need at the casino. Luck is what you need when you buy a lottery ticket. Most of the time, luck means that you lose. And we're blessed here at Abundant Life Family Church, all right? So that means we always win. And so that's why we have pot blessings instead of pot lucks. And it isn't like we have actually banned the word potluck. But saying pot bless for us is just sort of a fun way, or a way of saying pot bless, you know, instead of potluck, is just a way that, you know, reminds us or reminds ourselves that words count, that what we're saying. Now, I don't think we're going to be cursed if we say potluck, but, if you say potluck, it doesn't make you think about it. But when you say pot bless, people go, huh? And then you get to explain, well, we're blessed here. And it gives you a chance, you know, to brag on God and talk about, you know, the things that He's given to us, the blessings of God. And so it's just a reminder. And, you know, what you say is important because it affects the course of your life and the direction that you go. I'm going to read a long passage of Scripture today in James chapter 3, verse 3 through 12. And it says, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. And look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. And so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a force is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, you know, sustaining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile of the sea can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond produce fresh water. And so I want you to think about this. This is a powerful passage of Scripture. Where you are today in your life, wherever you're at, where you're at today, is a result of the words that you have spoken and the words that others have spoken over you. The words of humanity have set the conditions that we live in. Where we are in history is a result of the words people have spoken throughout history. For us to overcome all the bad words that have been spilled or are being spilled, we need to speak words of faith. And we don't have enough time to speak enough positive words to overcome all the negative words, so the positive words we do speak need to be powerful ones. But for us to overcome the sheer volume of bad words, we must speak faith words. And, you know, people usually think that they're just reporting facts. You know, they're just talking, you know, this is what it, you know, this is how it is. And they don't realize that they're actually creating the facts, or that they're perpetuating the facts, that they're making sure that the facts continue to be the facts, and that today's facts will be tomorrow's facts. And in fact, tomorrow's facts can even be a little worse than today's facts. And we just keep feeding that fire. They think they're giving you a report on their back pain. but they're feeding the pain. You never hear someone say, you know what, every winter, praise God, I get financially blessed. Every winter, I don't know what it is. Every winter, when winter comes, I mean, money just starts coming to me somehow. It's just remarkable. I mean, you can't believe it. Money just comes from everywhere. What kinds of things do you hear every winter? I get the flu every winter. I get the flu shot, it made me sick. If only one person ever in the whole world got flu, it would be me. I get it every winter, or every Christmas. Or those are and those kinds of facts are the things that you always hear people say. Over and over and over and over. But they're true. I get the flu every winter. I mean, what do you want to do? Well, there's some other things that are true.
And I get the runny nose every winter.
Every winter, she gets the runny nose. Praise God. One winter, you're going to not have that runny nose. And, it's like they have been gifted with having the opposite of the Midas touch. I don't know why you can be gifted to have some curse in your life that, it's just for sure. It happens like clockwork. It never fails. How come we can't be blessed with some good thing, some blessing that's like the Midas touch? But it's not. It's always some negative thing. People know it. They believe it. They confess it. They say it. They speak it. And don't try to talk them down. They wear the flu like a badge. And they're going to keep it. Nobody gets flu like me. Don't even start talking about the flu. This is the flu king right here. And you're not taking me off my perch. And so they'll get upset at you if you try to, to change the conversation. The one thing they do better than anyone else is get the flu. And they're not going to lose that. They're not going to lose that title. Or of course, I'm exaggerating. This is interesting, isn't it? We're funny people. And people, we're just, I don't know why we're so strange. I don't think we really think about it sometimes. Or they've been gifted with the family curse. I don't know about your family, but our family has curses. Everyone in our family, they die of cancer. Not my family, but you'll hear people say things like that. Or we all die young. Yeah, I'm not probably going to live past 50. Everybody in my family dies young. I've heard people talk that way. Yeah, and I know people can be genetically disposed to certain things. I'm not denying that. But why can't it ever be something good? Why can't we be immune to something genetically? Why is it always a family curse? Why don't we have family blessings? Why don't we hear anybody talk that way? People start panicking every time there is snow in the forecast. Now, it wasn't that way when I was growing up. I didn't think, well, it probably was, but it's because it keeps ratcheting up. How many of you know the newscasters and all that? They make money by sensationalizing everything. And I'm not blaming them. They sensationalize it because we are sensationalized. And so they're just using what works. And if the news works, if they didn't sensationalize weather, no one would pay any attention to it. And so it can't be like tomorrow there's 2 inches of snow forecast. Oh no, it's a winter blizzard that's going to cover the whole United States and take cover. You better have a bunker somewhere. I mean, in World War II, bombs dropped out of the air, but here we have snow. And then Sydney sets up and thanks God for that. the last snowstorm we had enjoyed a 5-day news cycle. It started out to be a big one, didn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Then it just started petering out. Just kept, got smaller and smaller and smaller until we're going like, what? They told us we were going to have a crisis. They told us we may never be able to come out of our homes again. And look at this. This is just disappointing. People get more excited over a snow forecast than they do a tornado siren. It really is amazing. And I'm just telling you, I think it's funny because we keep ratcheting this kind of thing up. It doesn't really matter what it is. If it's of the devil, you know, we get excited, we talk about it, and we, you know, put banners up and all of those kinds of things. And I'm just saying that that's probably not the smartest way to live. I'm simply trying to point out that we who like to sensationalize the negative. That's part of the human condition. That's part of our species, okay? And as Christians, we need not to follow that pattern because we've been changed. We don't live after the pattern of the world. We don't sensationalize the things that the world sensationalizes. We have a different message, a different truth, a different outlook. I'm simply trying to point that out. You know, and as the result, everything is negative. So referring to a potluck or a pot blessing, you know, might be trivial, but some of the things that we speak out of our mouths are not trivial. The good news is that we can modify how we speak. Praise God. It's a tough one. No man can do it, but we have the Holy Spirit to help us. And He can do it. He can fill our mouths with faith-filled words so that we can change the destiny, the course of our life. I don't think most people think about the words that they're speaking. But I hear members of Abundant Life Family Church correcting things said all the time. And a lot of times it's me being corrected. That's the kind of folks we have come to Abundant Life Family Church. The good news is that we can set the course of our life towards good. See, if we can set the course of our life towards evil and trouble, we can also set it towards good. You can set the course of your life towards blessings. See, a lot of people just think they're powerless. They think that they don't have any authority. They just think whatever the wind blows, you know, whenever the snow drops, that's just, what do? You know, you just survive the best you can. Well, you don't have to. You can speak. That's the authority you have. You can control what comes out of your mouth. You can say good things or bad things. You have authority over your tongue. So you can actually change the course of your life simply by changing the things that you say. Amen. That is just absolutely awesome. I mean, that's a revelation everybody should get a hold of. I mean, it's just like, wow. You know, we do everything else we can to change things, but sometimes what we don't do is we don't change what we're saying. And I'm not saying you can't acknowledge observable facts. I mean, if you're going to go to the doctor, I suppose you better tell them what's going on. But I think you should weigh whether or not there's a need to tell everyone for the rest of your life that you meet, you know, about your family curse. I don't think you need to tell everyone, you know, I'm probably going to die when I'm 50 because everybody in my family dies when I'm 50. I don't know if you know that, but that's just, our family's kind of that way. I don't know that you need to tell everybody that. Maybe you should think about some of the things you say when you say them. And if you are going to, you know, give a report on the negative things in your life, I mean, tag them with your faith in God's promises. You know, you're the doctor. What's going on? I got the flu. Praise God, but I have the promise that I'm healed by His stripes. The stripes of Jesus, those are the wounds that He endured when He was being hung on the cross. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I just stuck this in there. Doesn't cost anything to stick these in. 1 Peter 2, 4 says this, He Himself bore our sins in His body and on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. And so that's a promise that you have. You may not be feeling that or seeing that, but if you're going to report the sickness, can't you at least report the promise? Can't you make sure that the good things are coming out of your mouth as well as the bad things? We have good things to talk about. We have things that are exciting to talk about. If you're going to report the facts as you see them, then make sure that you report the authority that you've been given over the problem. Because we have authority over it. John chapter 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I love it when he says truly, truly. I wouldn't call Jesus a liar if he said one truly. But when he says truly, truly, I just think that's, I like that. Truly, truly, he says, I say, whoever believes in me and will also, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. That's pretty astounding stuff there. Most people, if you said that you could do greater works than Jesus, they would think you committed the unpardonable sin and you were going to burn up right there on the spot. They'd stand back and wait to see if lightning struck you. And yet this is what Jesus spoke to us. He tells us the kind of authority. Who did he say this for? Who will do greater works than Jesus? Whoever believes in Jesus. And so I think there's a lot. How many of you believe in Jesus? How many of you can say you're doing greater works than Jesus? Okay, well, probably because we're not saying that, or we don't speak with the authority that he's given us. We don't believe necessarily that part of the promise. And so, you're not limited to speaking observable facts. You can speak faith facts. It's okay to do that. You can renew your mind, by talking differently. And it does change. I'm telling you, because, the way a lot of us used to live, we live totally different lives. You get different information. And did you guys ever used to tell something, a wife's tale, or something you used to always say, and then you found out it wasn't true? So then you had to change that. Oops. Can't say that one no more. All right, so that's what they're reading the Bible. You see, you renew your mind. You find out the facts. You find out the promise. You go, oops, guess what? I guess I got to start talking differently about that one. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. I love this one because people like to pick on these passages. I'm not going to go into it, but Jesus just said we would do greater works than he did. And now we're going to see everything that Jesus did. He says it's going to happen anyway. He says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and they will drink. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And so we ought to be talking about that. Somebody says, I get the flu every year. Really? Well, I lay hands on people, they recover. And we ought to be talking about those kinds of things. Again, who's this for? Who will these signs accompany? Those who believe. So instead of setting our course, you see, towards destruction by speaking the facts, we ought to set the course towards blessings by speaking a different set of facts, a different opinion. Instead of the opinion that the enemy has trained us up to speak, the God of this world, the God of carnal things, the God of carnal knowledge. Maybe we should speak words according to the God of heaven, the God of spiritual knowledge and spiritual facts. Instead of setting our course towards destruction by speaking the facts, we ought to set our course towards blessing by speaking God's facts. Now, every one of these scriptures I talk about, these, they're all sermons in themselves, and there are many, many, many more in the Bible about things that belong to us as Christians and that tell us how we ought to be looking at the world and things. Are you up or down? Well, it depends if you're looking at which set of facts. If you think that you're up because you're looking at a set of worldly facts that tell you that you're up, guess what? You're in trouble. You might think you're rich, but you are poor because you think you're rich. Then again, you might be looking at a really deficit in your bank account and your wallet and all those kinds of things. Are you rich or are you poor?
Rich.
No, that's not true. Rich is rich. No, the medicine's not. Yeah. There you go. Okay. Each one of us needs to pay more close attention to these things. We need to pay attention to the power that we release with our words. Yodem, you're the meeting. And by staying close together, I love that song. I might just make you sing it every Sunday. They wear out and you don't like them anymore. But anyway, if we get bound together one more time, I'm just going to shoot everybody. I don't know. I love that. Thank you. But Yodem, you're the meeting. By staying close to each other, you can close the door to a lot of future heartache. Because it left exposed out there to the world. You're just exposed to old habits, to the worldly mindset, to the way they talk, the way they think, and you never get a different perspective. And so if you're already following after that, you're just going to be encouraged in it and reinforced in it. And so you can close the door to a lot of the future heartache, you know, just by getting around people that have learned some things and know some things and can help you learn how you should think and talk. You don't need to be a victim of depression. There are good things in life to report on. And, you know, it may be hard for you to do so because your habit is to speak about it negatively. And so you may feel, your habit can be so ingrained in you to speak negatively that you feel uncomfortable to speak any other way. And, I mean, some people, it's like they're afraid to say something good about themselves. I mean, I don't know. And so they constantly go around sandbagging. I was telling a young man that last night. You got to quit sandbagging. You're blessed. The blessings on your life are apparent. And you know you need to start stepping up to that. Young man, won't do it overnight, but you know you need to consider those things. You're not stuck in a rut to be who people have always told you that you got to be. You don't have to sit in some corner and act like you're not anything when you're everything. And so some people they just feel comfortable speaking negative, but they're embarrassed to speak positively. You know, depression is a real problem. And I don't tell people who get depressed to simply pick themselves up. You know, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. It's mind over matter, that kind of, I don't talk that way. I don't believe that. Maybe for some people, but probably not the ones I've talked to, or most of them. But I'm going to tell you what the best form of depression therapy is to learn to control what you say. Just speak just what you say. I mean, it'll help you. You know, if you're just piling onto it all the time and reinforcing it, you know, it's not going to get better by that way. And so I don't think depression is something that people just make up. I don't think it's just something they talk themselves into and stuff like that. But I certainly believe the way you talk can have a powerful impact on it. And, you know, there's a lot of things that can help. You know, there's all kinds of treatments. You know, there's psychotherapy. There's all kinds of stuff. You know, and if they can help, let me tell you what else can help. The Word of God can help. That's all I'm saying. I know that winter is cold and dark, but you can talk about how Jesus is your light. Jesus is brighter than anything I know. When He shines on me, it's impossible for me to be depressed. I was down, but then He shined on my heart and He just lifted me up. He shined on my heart this morning during praise and worship. It just lifted me up. Praise God. And so, you know, yeah, I understand these things. I'm not, you know, I understand reality. I understand science and the reports and all those kinds of things. And we can talk about that till we're blue in the face. But I'm also telling you that the Word of God is true. I don't want to dwell on all the bad things that happen when you talk bad. That, you know, think about the positive possibilities. You can turn your whole life around by simply changing how you speak. I just think that revelation is just astounding. And to kind of poo-paw that or kind of heard that before, whatever, that is just nuts. And you can start today. Some people go around if they got, you know, looking for how they should invest their money. I don't care if you find out how to invest your money, but let me tell you how a surefire method of investing. Speak God's word. How many of you identify with lack? You don't have to raise your hands. You know, most people, a lot of people, they identify with lack in their lives in some fashion or form, and probably a lot of times in every form. Poverty, relationships, health. I mean, it doesn't matter what area you pick. I mean, some might be worse than others, but people identify with lack in their life. And, you know, they don't consider themselves. And so even if you don't have lots of money, you know, you don't have to identify with lack. That doesn't have to be your little, you know, your little banner that you carry around with you. It doesn't have to be your identity. How do you act when you are identifying with lack in your life? Does that put a spark in your eye? Does that just make you into a blessing to everyone around you? You just can't wait to kind of encourage someone because you're just so focused on your lack and your identity of lack. Or no, what happens when you identify with being lack is you don't have nothing to give to anybody. So you just sit there, not realizing the gift that God has put on the inside of you. Even if you don't have lots of money, you do not have to identify with lack. And that's what keeps your ship turned towards lack. You feel like you got lack, you say you got lack, you believe you got lack. And so you just, your course is headed towards lack. And I'm not saying you don't have lack, but you just keep, you make sure that it just keeps going that direction. You can identify with being rich in Christ. I don't know what my bank account says, but I'll tell you what Jesus says. And he says, I'm going this way towards prosperity. He says, I'm going this way towards blessing. You know, he says, I'm going this way towards winning. And so do I just have to report my lack? Or can I report what Jesus said about my direction of my life? Which, can I identify with being headed the right direction? I got a penny in my pocket, but I'm headed towards more. Do I have to identify with, I got a penny in my pocket, I probably won't have none tomorrow? You know, and change how you think and you speak. You change when you do that. You change the course of your life. Maybe you've been trusting God. I think most Christians, at least the ones that show up on church on Sunday morning, have enough motivation. They're at least attempting to trust God in their lives. So they're trying to believe. They're hopeful that God's going to come and help them. But at the same time, the problem is many of them exalt their problem. By the way that they speak about it. And so the reason it seems that God is not answering sometimes is just simply because we're negating our trust in Him. In other words, I'm trying to trust God and say, well, I hope He's going to help me with my finances. I believe He's going to help me. But then we're always over here talking. I don't have any finances. I'm just poor. I don't know. I can't get a job and da 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 da. You know, and so you're trying to trust God while you've got your ship steered this way. So not only are you asking God to bless you, but you're asking Him to bless you while you have your rudder turned towards lack and poverty. So you turn your ship that way, you aim it that way, and then you ask God to turn it to make you go towards the other way when you're doing everything that takes you towards poverty and lack and all those things. And then you wonder, well, how come God's not answering? He must be mad at me. He must be angry or something's going on there. You want God to take your ship over here to victory, but you're steering your life in the opposite direction. And so our trust in God has to line up, our words that we speak have to line up with the trust that we have. If you're trusting God for something, then speak that way. Get them together. Get them on the same page. Get them in unity. You know, just like you want to get your wife and, you know, or your husband, you know, get unity. Hey, there's great power in that. When there's disunity and double-mindedness, there's nothing happens with that. And so it's like you got two things. You got one thing you're trusting in your heart over here, but you're speaking with your mouth over this direction. You got to get those two things lined up with each other. Don't bother trusting God for something good if you're not going to speak good. You're trusting God with your heart, but you've been pulling in the opposite direction with your words. What would happen if you lined up your words with your faith? I can tell you what happens when you don't. People are more sure of that, it seems like. There are times when people need a miracle in their life. They need something radical to happen. And fast. And I'm going to tell you something, a miracle requires pure faith. Miracles just, they require your faith and words to be lined up. You're not going to get a miracle while you're speaking doubt and unbelief. Forget it. If you do, that's somebody else's faith, I guess. I don't know. Even Jesus, it says when he was in his hometown, he couldn't do very many mighty miracles because of the people's doubt and unbelief. Miracles require faith that isn't watered down with doubt and unbelief. faith that hasn't been negated by words of doubt. You can't have your mind conditioned, tripping on doubt and unbelief over and over, and everything you hear and everything you hear people say and everything the world says and all this kind of garbage out there, and then suddenly turn the switch on to where you're all believing and talking and whatever. You can't turn yourself that fast. Because we're conditioned to doubt and unbelief. That's natural to us. All of us have been conditioned that way by all the negative words that we speak and we hear others speaking. Most of the time, we must rely on recovery instead of miracle. And it isn't because God has a particular agenda in that. It's just who we are. And, you know, I guess you can beat yourself up over that, or you can say, well, I guess I'm going to go for recovery. And for most of us, that's what it requires. We have to have recovery in our life instead of an instant miracle. Our slowness requires us to take a wide, slow turn to turn our ship around. It's one big honking ship, and it's been headed in one direction for so long, we don't even know if the rudder will turn. It's probably froze back there. You know, so we got to start turning that rudder, and we just got to make this long, big, slow turn. But I'm telling you, once you start the turn, if you keep it that way, you'll get it turned around and headed the right direction eventually. You will recover. Our slowness requires us to take a wide, slow turn to turn our ship. But slow or fast, you can turn your ship simply by starting to line up your words with what God says. Because our minds are slow to take hold of God's promises, and because of that, they seem to be delayed. I'm just telling you, that isn't God being mad at you. That isn't God punishing you. You just need to be persistent and steadfast. It might seem slow, but you can start turning your ship any time that you want. Anytime. You can change the course of your life. Just depends what course you want to go on. That's a different issue, isn't it? Slow or fast, the point is turn your ship. How many of you overindulge during the holidays? Again, you don't need to raise your hands. I mean, wouldn't it be great if we could just simply believe God for all those extra pounds to simply vanish? You know, just, or for that credit card debt to simply just disappear. I'm going to tell you something. If you had faith, that would happen. Bam. But you're not going to have faith for that. Because you know you were overindulging and doing all this stuff, and so you're, anyway. But you can start the process of turning your ship around. Your recovery time will depend on how badly you abused yourself in the first place, you know, how much you overindulged, and how hard you turned the ship. But complaining about what you have done over and over in the situation will not change anything. It'll just keep it going that way. And then you can add next year's overindulgence to that. And you can just go to that fun world of misery and lack and depression and sickness and all that kind of stuff. Dwelling and talking about your predicament will not change anything. It will only perpetuate the course of your ship. I can't say how fast your ship can be turned. Sometimes there's a lot of factors. Sometimes we need to, you know, when you start changing the way you speak, sometimes it takes your habits a while to change. Sometimes your flesh doesn't want to get in line with the new change. Sometimes it wants to keep up the old habits, and it gets in the way of your newfound purpose. And so the battle's on. You know, which is going to win? Is my tongue going to talk after my flesh, or is my tongue going to talk after the Word of God and the Spirit of God? And, you know, I do a lot of starting over. I found out something in the Bible. You know, it said where Jesus was talking about forgiving 70 times 7 or something like that. I found out it didn't matter how many times I do it, He will forgive me one more time. I can always turn my, if I don't turn it into my ship now, I can turn it now. Sometimes I'm turning and then I start to kind of level off and I go, oops, I have to turn it back. Get going back the right direction. I wish I could just say all my courses were just bam, about face, and it was ever happy ever after, but sometimes I kind of wave around. I've even been stupid enough to go the right direction to end up turning around going back the wrong direction. But I found out that the grace of Jesus Christ is greater than all my weaknesses. And that I can always, always dig in one more time. And I got how many ever years He gives me to work on this. And so, you know, day by day, you know, we should be getting our ship closer to the victories that He's promised us. I can't say how long it will take to be able to see naturally your victory, but I know that you can start today. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a confidence. There's something good. There's a spring in your step. There's a fire on the inside of you that comes, that springs up when you decide to make the decision to turn your ship. You don't even have to wait till you get the ship completely turned around or to the place you want to go. Just knowing that you're going in the right direction is just such a benefit. One of the reasons that you need to meet regularly with other believers is so that you can be hear encouraging words. So you can hear words of faith. You can hear people talking about Jesus. Hear people talking about promises. You're probably not hearing that out there in your workplace and everywhere else you go. You may not even be hearing it about around your dinner table. Maybe spending all your time talking about the problems and the roughness and all the things that are going wrong. News and information that you all the news and information that you hear in the world. You know, if you stay in the world by yourself and all you hear all day is your negative thoughts. And you hear those thoughts being reinforced in a million other ways through other people and every source of information that there is, and it's just a constant dribble of that kind of stuff. You're not just going to just spontaneously and whatever just have it all together. You're not going to naturally be aware of the facts according to Jesus. And that's why I talk about, especially in the days that we live in, that we need each other. And we need to gather so we can remind each other of these things and be encouraged by these things. Jesus is coming back soon. And so naturally speaking, what that means is it's going to look bad. Look that way. That doesn't have anything to do with the promises that He's given to us. Things are going to shake. It's not going to be naturally for you. It's not going to be naturally for you to have a positive view of things by looking at the world. That wouldn't be a good thing anyway, because that would just be a delusion. And so, if you're already giving voice to the devil's works every day in your life, you know, if you're just talking about what he's doing and giving him credit for everything, you know, reporting things according to his facts, then, I mean, you will only increase that pattern because you're going to have more things to talk about. You're going to have more reasons to be discouraged. You're going to have more reasons to give up. You're going to have more reasons to quit. You're going to have more reasons to do everything you shouldn't be doing. You're going to have more reasons just to keep going in the wrong way. But in the Word, we are told over and over and over about these things. There's so much teaching and warnings and information about this. It's not like hidden in some obscure scriptures. We're told that things are going to shake and that we are to be strong and courageous. We are told to not be those that live in fear. Why is that? Because God can keep us in the midst of everything that's going to happen. I can't define to you how that will work out in your life. But I know that it's wise to not be negative and not to be fearful. God has the situation under control on your behalf. But it's not going to be naturally discernible. It's not going to fall like the snow falls. It's not going to come in a weather report. The newscaster is not going to get on TV one day and say, you know what, guess what? Stop being afraid, get excited, because what, everything's going to be good from now on. We finally did it. We finally got rid of all of our problems, and it's going to be smooth sailing from now on. Everybody should just get in the street and have a big party. You need to be hooked up with a place like Abundant Life Family Church. That's what you need to do. Yodam. Might be something I came up with, but the sentiment of it came from God. And I hope that you can understand the truth of all this. I'm just telling you, if you're not excited about your life, about your prospects, it's because you have a world opinion of the situation. And if you want to be excited about your life and your prospects and where you're going in this world, in this life, if you want to be able to relax and have some peace in the midst of a storm and the craziness that's going on, then you're going to have to look at a different set of facts. And that's the facts that Jesus has reported to us. And you're going to have to speak those things and confess those things. And it just means you're just, by the world standards, you're going to be an oddball. They are not going to know where you are coming from. They're not going to understand it. They're going to just think you jumped off some deep end. And they're going to think it's weird that you don't want to go over a cliff with them. And and I just encourage you to think that they're weird. Think that they're strange. And, you know, have some, just have empathy for them and try to help them. That's all you can do. And that's why we come here. Father God, I thank you so much for your goodness, for your mercy. That tremendous, great band come. They are getting so, so good. Every week they get better. I hear that piano dinging away back there better. I hear that ukulele going, them voices singing like robins. And I'm not just making a good confession. That's true. It is. They are getting better. And I've heard a lot of people talk about that. And it's just amazing. Praise the Lord. And it's amazing what happens when you give yourself to the Lord, you know, and just start doing something. Anyway, Father God, thank you so much for the goodness that you've blessed us with. Thank you for your word, Lord, that keeps us in the hour of trial, during our tribulation. Lord, that we might not be those that shrink back and fall away, but those that live bold as a lion. Father, help us to love your word, to love your promises, to love the prospect of our inheritance that belongs to us. To turn away, Lord, from the momentary troubles that we have, the reality that presents itself to us. Just say no to it. Oh, Father God, thank you so much for your blessings. Lord, your word is a blessing. Lord, may we seek your wisdom, your truth, your knowledge, your perspective. Rock of ages, thank you so much for loving us and caring for us. Thank you for the revelation that you pour out in our lives in the days that we live in. Lord, I know that you've called us for such a time as this. You're preparing us, Lord, for the days that we live in. May we be found to be ready, not those that are asleep. Help us, Lord, to be using every gift that we have for the purpose that you gave it. Not to be sandbagging, holding back, speaking like the world speaks. Lord, may we speak your opinion. If you call us blessed, then let us say we're blessed. If you called us rich, then let us say we're rich. And if you called us healthy and well, then let us call ourselves that. Thank you so much, Lord God, that our lives are not dependent upon this world. That the condition of our soul is not conditioned by what's going on in our flesh, our body, our lives, our bank accounts, or anywhere else. Father, I thank you that our lives far supersede anything that happens in this world. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to live as champions, to think as champions, to walk as champions. Help us, Lord, to find the narrow road, to set the course of our ship, to go where you want us to go. May we, Lord, just give up old habits. Let go of those things. The complaints, the moaning, the doubt, the unbelief, Lord God. Remind us, Lord, when the wrong words are coming off our lips, to just stop. Thank you so much for your wisdom and knowledge. We give you praise for it today in Jesus' name. Amen.